Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
With the newly released movie Concussion, about a pathologist played by Will Smith, and it really brings to light what so many have been talking about in the topic of concussion and what's involved and what are the long-term effects. And my guest today is Dr. Christopher Giza. He leads the Pediatric Traumatic Brain Injury Sports Concussion Program at UCLA. Welcome to the show, Dr. Giza. So we were talking off the air a little bit about the movie. Tell us, first of all, what you think is going on in the world of concussion today, and what do you want parents to be most aware of?
Sure. Well, you know, today people are paying attention to concussions. You know, when I was a kid, if you weren't knocked out cold, people pretty much didn't pay any attention. So there's been a sea change in the awareness about concussions. There's been a gradual change in the culture of sport, which I think, you know, we'd all like it to be faster. But at least people are paying attention. Movies like this, which are, you know, very nice dramatic pieces. They're built on some factual components. It brings to the mainstream the concerns about concussion. This particular movie focuses perhaps a little more on the long-term repercussions and the dementia that's been reported in professional athletes. But I think it provides a good platform for the general public to have a discussion about sports, health, and safety.
I think so, too. And with the advent of so many new technologies in helmets and pads and things, do you think that that gives us a bit of a false sense of security when it comes to our children in these contact sports?
I think it can. You know, I tell parents there are some basic things they can do to try to ensure their kids playing sports safely. And having properly fitted and well-maintained equipment is one of them. Some of the newer bells and whistles that are out there, the different sensors, the headbands, things like this, most of these really haven't been validated and prove that they reduce clinical concussion. And concussion itself is a brain movement injury. The brain moves around in fluid inside the skull. And so you can imagine even a hard helmet like a football helmet can absorb force, but it can't stop the head from moving. So if an athlete's wearing a special headband or a special sensor, and they think it's protecting them, but actually it's not, there could be sort of a law of unintended consequences there, that their style of play may change. And so we encourage people to use properly fitted equipment, validated equipment, but to be careful about some of the newer items that haven't really been properly vetted.
Dr. Giza, we talk about the buddy system a lot on my shows and how sometimes, as you said, unless you were down and out, nothing was being said about it. So, but odd behaviors, balance issues, slurred speech, just any kinds of things that another athlete might notice as opposed to a coach or someone on the sidelines, that's a really good sort of way for us to keep a track of it. But what about some of these sports that don't have the equipment that you discuss, like soccer? And, you know, I mean, there are other sports that can have contact, a basketball, and then we don't even talk about concussion in those sports as much.
Right. We don't, although we're starting to. You know, there's a lot of discussion in soccer now. There's certainly discussion in other sports and also discussion along gender lines that, you know, that women get concussions also and may even have a higher risk. I think your comment on the buddy system is actually worth a little more exploration also, because one of the things that's important with concussions is an impact occurs or the head moves quickly and it develops symptoms of neurological dysfunction, typically headache, memory, sometimes light sensitivity, nausea, vomiting, dizziness. There's a whole compendium of different symptoms. And when those occur, sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't. And you rely on the athlete to be able to tell you about those symptoms. An athlete who's had a concussion may not be the best advocate for themselves to be able to say, hey, I feel this or that. Sometimes athletes come and see me and they don't even remember what happened, but their teammates can help them out. And we found that this is an important part of changing the culture. It works for team sports. It has worked when we've talked with military personnel. You want your team to succeed. You want your teammates to be safe. And so you're not ratting somebody out if you see them injured, if they're holding their knee or if they're limping. Should be the same way if you see somebody get in the huddle and they're glassy-eyed or they walk the wrong direction or they're unsteady. Because if they have had a concussion and they continue to participate in a risky activity, they have a 3 times increased risk of getting another concussion, which will be worse, will take more time to recover and more symptoms, and they have a higher risk of getting some other kind of injury, like an orthopedic injury or some other physical injury. So really, identifying people who look like they may have had a concussion and sitting them out is the safest and quickest way to allow them to continue to play their sport.
So when in doubt, sit them out. How many concussions? How many concussions, Dr. Giza, would you say, okay, enough is enough? I mean, one concussion is one too many. But a lot of kids go back to play, or if they were playing football, got a concussion, then they start wrestling instead. So how many concussions would you say, okay, that's it? You're not allowed to really do any more of those type of sports.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's, you know, it's a complex question with a complex answer. There's no absolute number. And every decision, a decision to play a contact sport is a family and personal decision based on what's the benefits from the participation versus the risks or the downside. So an athlete who's not doing very well in a sport, who's getting a lot of injuries, who's riding the bench a lot or something like that, that may not be in their favor to continue participating. On the other hand, there are athletes who get a lot of benefit from sports participation. They are fit. They have their personal identity is tied into it. They have leadership positions and other things like that, maybe scholarships. So then the risk-benefit is a little bit different for them. I don't think we want anybody to get an injury and continue playing with an injury. But it seems that some of the biological data suggests that it's not just the number of concussions, but it's the timing of them. And that the concussions that are occurring before complete recovery of the first one are at higher risk for longer-term problems, whereas a concussion that is allowed its natural course of full recovery may not have the same risk for long-term problems. And so,
but that's another complicated question, and we don't have certainly time here because we only have 2 minutes left. But the length of time that you sit it out and the length of time till you're recovered, how do you even know? And just give us in the last couple minutes here your best advice for parents on how to know when their kids should stay away from the video games or stay out of school or when they can return back to play.
Right. So I think an important thing is that athletes and teammates need to relate their symptoms to health providers so health providers can initiate sort of concussion evaluation. Healthcare providers shouldn't rely on a single test to diagnose concussion. So coaches and parents shouldn't necessarily try to diagnose the concussion on the sideline. When in doubt, sit them out, have them evaluated by somebody who can check all the brain functions. If parents want things that they can do right now to help make their kids' sports safer, they should vet their coach and the training staff. See if their kid's team has an athletic trainer. Contact sports should, but many high school sports do not. Make sure they use proper equipment. Make sure the rules are enforced properly. Avoid unnecessary contact. And make sure that they and their kids and their coaches and the trainers and the teachers are up to date on education about concussions and brain health.
That's really great information. How beautifully put was that? You wrapped it up better than I could. That was perfect. And thank you so much, because I think this is such an important topic. I'm so glad we're talking about it and people can see this movie, and it'll give parents just a little bit more of an idea of the severity of concussions and the fact that they really can have long-term effects. Thank you so much, Dr. Giza, and keep up all your good work, because we're going to be listening for more from you.
Okay, thank you, Melanie. It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much, and you're listening to Radio MD. For more information, or if you missed any of our great information, you can go to radiomd.com and listen anytime, on demand or on the go. You can also hear us on iHeartRadio and iTunes and the free TuneIn Radio app, and we're all over the place, so share these shows with your friends. It's great information and so important, parents, so listen up and take note of some of what we were talking about today. Thanks for listening and stay well.